Please and open to Psalms chapter 19, Psalm 19. And I'd like to pick up the thought that we started on last week when we talked about knowing God, a great chapter on knowing God. And you think about it. Stand with me when you find your place, Psalm chapter 19. And I'd like to read the first five verses as our text. Psalm 19, verse 1 says this: "The heavens," notice plural, "declares the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In that in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of its chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race." Let's pray. Father, help us today again as we think about this great text that lies before us. And we ask you to help us to, again, with words that would convey great eternal truths. Please, our Lord, may these words be ignited, powered by you. And we pray that you would, as we do honor to your word, we pray, our Lord, that you'd help us recall things that drive the scriptures deep in our heart and write them with an iron pen that we would never forget. And we pray for your kindness to be showed in this very place today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we think about this verse, the first part of that verse talks about the heavens declare the glory of God. And we mentioned last week, we mentioned it a lot of times, people know about God, they talk about God, but without knowing God. And we encouraged you last week to get to know God. He's a great God. That's a good place for an amen. He's a great, glorious, almighty God. And you get to know Him a little better. And as you know Him, if we really knew Him, we begin to think about Him, on who He is and His greatness and His mercy and His kindness. You know, I think of in the Word of God, we'll talk about the need of, you can't get to know God without the Scriptures. We need the Bible to really get to know God. As we read stories and things, we learn, and we learn more about God. I think about Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth was Saul's son. Saul was some renegade king just kept trying to kill David over and over and over. It seemed like he was just consumed with one thought: kill David. What are you going to do today? Kill David. How about tomorrow? Kill David. Just that consuming thought, and he, you know, literally traveled all over the country with thousands of men with that consuming thought: I'm just going to kill David. What are you doing? I'm going to kill David. And, you know, have you seen David? Have you seen David? Why? I want to kill him. You know, and just consumed with that. Saul dies. And God judges the people because of their, Saul killed the Gibeonites, who God gave a promise to, not to, you know, they promised not to, they would be their slaves all their life. And so it went back on that promise. Make a long story short, God sent a plague, and after Saul was dead, this happened. Because of Saul, because of his judging of the Gibeonites, God sent a plague, and David said, "What can we do to solve this?" He goes to the Gibeonites. He said, "What can we do?" And he says, they said, "Well, here, we don't want money. We don't want gold. We want seven sons of Saul. And so deliver them." And David had them killed and delivered. There was only one spared, and he was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was Saul's son, and he was a cripple. And he was a friend. His father was Jonathan, who was David's dear friend, which was the son of Saul. I say all that for this, that every day, every day David would have Mephibosheth eat at his table. And every day, what that is that's a picture of grace. Mephibosheth said, you know, he figured he was a dead man because of all the sin of his father. But instead, David, because of Jonathan, and for Jonathan's sake, David not only gave him his land back and all that he had, but David had him eat at his table every day with him. That's a sign of grace. I'm just telling you that when we eat at the king's table, it's grace. It's grace. We begin to see just a little glimpse of our great God. We don't deserve it. We're just cripples. You know, we're just sinners sitting at the king's table. We become saints of God, sons of God. because of the mercy and the grace of God. We begin to just see a little bit of a glimpse of his kindness. In the Word of God, you find a lady named Gomer, who was a prostitute and married a prophet of God, Hosea. And you know, you think about that, and we in that story, she was cheating, now running around and bought off the slave block at half price. And in that story, we find out that we're Gomer. And we find out that God had kindness on us and mercy on us as we betrayed God and cheated on God. He took us into his house and loved us. And it's interesting that it says Hosea loved her. I thought that was a great, great way for a love story. It's good to be married, but it's good to be happily married. And so the love involved in that. And, you know, we begin to see a glimpse of God. As we know God, I'm telling you that when we know him, you couldn't help but to love him. And we went on with that a little bit. We talked about if we loved him, we'd trust him. It's just a fruit. It's just a product of knowing and trusting somebody. I think of our children when they're little, you know, we stand them on a pulpit and I said, jump, jump. And they'd leap. Now, if they do that, I think they still would if I asked, but it might be a disaster. But, you know, they trusted their dad. I think about when we know God, we find out we got a God we can trust. And when we trust him, you know what we'll do? We'll obey him. Obey him because we know he has our best at interest. We don't obey him today because we don't trust him. We don't trust him because we don't know him. We don't know him because we don't love him. I shared one time, I was talking to some folks in the detention center, and I picked out a young man, and I said to him, hey, I know somebody who loves you. And matter of fact, they would sacrifice for you, and they can't wait to meet you. And they wrote you a letter, and I got it today. I have the letter, and it's for you. And I said, would you like to read it? Like to read that. I said, not only that, but I know somebody who loves you and wrote you a letter too. And then I told him what it was. I drew it out a little bit, had a little more fun with it. I said, it's the Bible. And no one can make you gotta want to read that love letter that God has written you. And if you read it, you're gonna know about God. And if you knew about God and I took him down the road, you would love him. Because they have a hard time trusting in father image there. Detention center, because many of their fathers are not involved in their life. So they need to learn about a great heavenly father. We learn a lot from the Bible on the Word of God about our great heavenly father. You know, in there it says that the heavens declare his glory. We talked about that a little bit last week, and I just want to go over that real quick as I think about it, because it's a great thought, but it talks about the word heavens there, plural, declaring the glory of God. And we think about the third heaven, we see that by how? How do we see it today? Have to have my word, one word. How do you see it? By faith, that's right. By faith we've seen heaven. I've never been there. I've never seen Jesus Christ, but I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in heaven, and I believe that the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord, I'll take my last breath, and when I do, bang, I'm gone, I'm out of here. And I enter into those wonderful, glorious gates. And we're to represent heaven, but I've never been there, but I've seen it by faith. And then it talks about heaven's plural. The second heaven would be the universe and the stars and the sky and the almightiness of that and the vastness of that. And David knew about that as David would look at the stars at night as a shepherd boy on top of a palace and looking up in that, or the campfires of a battlefield, where he'd look up at night in the heavens and it declares, it shouts out about God, and it declares the glory of God. And then the first heaven would be here on earth, and you see that in the daytime. Boy, we saw it yesterday. What a beautiful day it was yesterday. You know, the sun and a few clouds here and there and a little bit of a breeze, and just, you know, beautiful hot weather. Just beautiful, though, the things that God created. You look up into heavens and it declares the glory. It declares the glory by faith. It declares the glory at night. It declares the glory in the daytime. What is God declaring? The glory is his outshining. He is telling everybody, and it talks about that There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It is all over the world. The presence of God, the glory of God, the outshining of God. God is here. You're dumber than a box of rocks if you're an atheist. You know, atheists can't even thank anybody for the stars and the sky, the sun and the moon. What a sad life. Everyone can bow his head and give me thanks to these great things. We think about his glory. We think about the firmament. We think about the power of God, and the vastness of that power is beyond our little puny mind. When we think about that, we talked about the speed of light being over 186,000 miles per second that travels. That means in less than 2 seconds, a light goes from here past the moon. And then for light to go from here to the first star is 4.5 light years. And for light to go from here to the end of the universe, they say, and there's other universes out there and other galaxies out there, but they say a light year of 10 billion light years just for our universe. That's beyond my little dinky mind. And God just did that. It was handiwork, created the stars and the heavens. Threw them out there. It's an almighty God. As we think about that, we think about that represents his mightiness, his power. It talks about there in the Word of God in verse 2, it says, day unto day uttereth his speech. You think about day unto day, that 24-hour cycle of God, that God is a God of order. God has everything in order. God not only has this earth in order, but he has this earth in orbit in order. He has the solar system in order. He has a universe in order. He has all this thing in order. He's a God of order. The law of nature is the law of God. The nature obeys the laws of God's order. And we think of, when we think about the firmament, I think about day unto day, I think about how this earth is on 365 days and how in a 24 hour this earth is spinning through orbit. I think about the order of God that's consistent and count on. When we think about the language, it cries out, I am here. There's no excuse to anyone in all this world that there's a God. The presence of God is declared through the heavens. When it says the heavens declare the glory of God. How else does God reveal himself? Well, he reveals himself in the Word of God. We not only have the heavens declaring the glory of God, we have the written Word of God, the inspired Word of God, preserved today that we can read, kept that we can read. Matter of fact, verse 7 says the law of God is what? Perfect. Now, you can either believe it or not, but I believe every jot, every tittle, every mark is of God, and God's preserved it through the ages. I can hold up and be proud to say that we have the Word of God today. I'm glad to know that. Matter of fact, that Word does something in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, being a born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth what? Can somebody finish it? Forever, a great verse about the Word of God. Only God could give us the Bible. What, you know what the Bible proves to me? It proves that there's God. As I read that book, and the more I read it, I think about what all it does, and this chapter talks about what all it does in our life. Look at one of the things it does in verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Doing what? Converting the soul. How many converts do we have here? Let me see your hand if you're a saved, born again, child of God. You've been converted. The Word of God did something. It enlightened you to where you could see your sin, what it was doing, how it was put Jesus on the cross. He died for your sin. He was buried. He rose the third day. And somewhere in there, you believed that. It enlightened it. The light came on in your life and enlightened it. It brought us to a place of repentance, where we knew we needed a Savior. And we knew that Jesus Christ was the only Savior. The only mediator between a fallen man and a holy God was when Jesus died on the cross, where he brings those two together. And the sinfulness of man and God's holiness kiss at the cross, and we become saints of God. Boy, to think about, that's enlightening to know that. It brought me to a place of repentance. And not only did the Word of God do that and enlighten me, but it brought me to a place that brought me out of the miry pit. It brought me out of sin. It convicted me of sin in my life. The Word of God is perfect. Matter of fact, it still convicts us today of sin. And God said, that he would send the Holy Spirit of the world to convict us of all unrighteousness. And he does that. He enlightens us about the sin of our life. Now, I got to admit, I'm glad that he didn't do that all of a sudden. I mean, you know, he's still changing me. I know you hope he changes me faster. I know that. But, you know, he's still working on me. How many can say that? He's still working on you. He's still enlightening you, still showing you some things that he's going to transform in your life. It brought that enlightenment. The Bible says in verse 7, I got in on this thing. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of sure, making wise the simple. Yep, that's me, simple. It made wise the simple. Now, I'll tell you what, if it can make wise this simple person, then everybody's guilty. It's perfect at making us wise. You know, it's so unique to me that a small child can receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how plain it is. And yet, a rocket scientist might miss it. Making wise the simple. Our world today sure misses the wisdom of God. Why? Because when they reject the Word of God, the enlightening power is not there. To think about how God enlightens us as being His children. He starts with us as babes and grows us. Aren't you glad for that? That's how simple, plain the Word of God is in spots. In verse 8, it talks about this too. It says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I'll tell you one thing that makes me excited. The Word of God makes me excited. The Word of God must have been something back in the olden days when we think about the martyrs, because they quoted scriptures as they were being fried, as they being burned at the stake, as they being hung, as they being taken to fed to the lions. They would quote scriptures, and they would get peace in scriptures. You know, it's pretty interesting how the Word of God can bring peace in our life and rejoicing in our life. I've seen the Word of God bring somebody who's dying. I've seen them give peace with one verse of Scripture. I'll tell you one thing. When I go to somebody who's dying, I want to make sure I take the Word of God into them. Because the Word of the preacher, the Word of Don, isn't going to do a whole lot. But I'm glad I got something. I got a Bible that I can take to them, gives them eternal promises, give them insight, give them enlightenment of what happens at death and beyond. That we got something we can take to them and they can rejoice. A dying man can rejoice. A hurting person can rejoice. Matter of fact, I've seen people in Bibles, and sometimes people give me their Bible. And at many funerals, I've taken the time to look through Bibles, especially people from our church that we would know dearly. And I look in their Bible, and I mean, I look at it as a sacred thing. I always look at the Bible as sacred, but I go through and I look for notes and comments of what they have said. I'll just give our children a little clue. I have their names in my Bible. Some were in there. Several places is their names placed. Sometimes all their names are placed. And it's places by verses that I've claimed. And you know, those verses give you peace in life, don't they? And I've sat beside mamas that to where they're praying for their children, and they got a verse that God gave them, and they got their name, they got their child's name placed by that verse that God gave them for something. Maybe they're dealing with some severe health, or maybe they're dealing with a divorce with one of their children, or maybe they're dealing with some kind of issue that's a big deal, and God gave them a promise. I'm just telling you, the Word of God can bring rejoicing to our old sin-sick, sinful hearts and lives. It's enlightening. It's rejoicing to us, and it brings promises to us that we can count on. No wonder it's perfect. I'm glad to have a Bible that I can count on. No one, the devil wants to steal it from us today. Because as we learn the Word of God, it tells us about God. It builds trust in God. Can't help but to build love in God. And that love will build trust, and that trust will build obedience in following our great Lord today. It'll clean you up in verse 9. It says this. It says, let me go back and read verse 8 because it is so nice. It says, the statutes of the Lord are rejoicing in the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure. Doing what? Lightening the eyes. You know, there's some things that you always thought was just fine, and then God enlightened you about them. God straightened us out about it. Look at verse 9. The fear of the Lord is what? Clean. Oh, boy, I'm telling you, I'm glad to have something clean in a dirty day. It refreshes my soul. You know, I've heard sometimes It refreshes me to hear somebody just speak from their heart and speak the truth. That's so refreshing to my soul. How many like to have some politics like that? I enjoy somebody who speaks from their soul and they're speaking truth. They're not trying to be political about it. And God's word is like that. It's clean. I'm glad to say in verse 9, it says the fear of the Lord is clean. And then what's it say? Enduring forever. Enduring forever. I'm glad we got a Bible that's going to be around. Amen. Same God yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad for that. You can count on Him. He's enduring. He's not only honest today, He's not only honest yesterday, He's not only honest tomorrow, but He's going to be honest throughout eternity. We got a God we can count on. He's honest. He's clean. And the Word of God's so clean, it can clean your soul. It can scrub you. It can give you a bath like you've never had before. It scrubs your soul. It scrubs your conscience. It cleans us as we pour it into our life and through our life. It cleans up our life. I don't know anything that has more effect at scrubbing on us than the Word of God. It's a shame when people think water can do that. I'll tell you, nothing cleanses a soul like God's Word can cleanse the soul. It's valuable in verse 9. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Look at verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. What a great verse when you think about verse 10. What a great verse. It's more to be desired than gold. Meaning this, I thought about it. If I had one Bible and I had $10 million and somebody say, which one do you want today? Today and today only. It's $10 million or it's the Bible. It's the only copy we have. Which do you want? I'd take the Bible. I'd take the Bible without thinking about it. I'd take the Bible. Hands down, I'd take the Word of God. Why? Because the value of the Word of God is much more valuable than gold. That verse is a great verse. Many people have taken that verse and turned it around a little bit. And they say, they turned it into a little bit of song and they would sing down through that song, those psalms. How many have ever heard something like that? And, you know, you sing down through it. It goes something like, it says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. And then it goes, if you start with verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are righteous, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. And you can sing down through there. Did you see the verses? And you can just pick it out and sing that and concentrate on how valuable the Word of God is and what kind of insight and enlightening, convicting, cleansing power God gives. I'll tell you, the Word of God reveals there's a great God. Not only the heavens declare the glory, but the Word of God declares God. You can't help but see God if you take time to read the love letter that God has given us. God doesn't stop there. Not only does He reveal Himself in the heavens, not only does He reveal Himself in the Scriptures, but He reveals Himself in the Spirit of God. He reveals Himself. Look at verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. It's a great verse. It's a great song. What is it doing? It's talking about the meditation of God. If David knew anything, David knew how to meditate on the things of God. And you know what that will feed? What that'll lift? And what that will reveal to us something? The Spirit of God inside of us speaks to us. He spoke to David then. He speaks to those that authored the Word of God. And I'm telling you, He speaks through the heavens and He speaks to our heart yet today. Can I get an amen? The Spirit of God speaking. You think about the power of the Word of God to speak to our hearts. I mean, there's things in your life that people say, they'll never quit that. They'll never stop that. And the Spirit of God spoke to them and enabled them to have power to stop that and to get out of that sin of whatever it might have been, the power of God. But it started with that still, small voice speaking to us. And, a lot of times, God speaks, we hear Him speaking to Elijah in the cave, and, you know, He wasn't in the fire and the wind and the earthquakes, and He came to Elijah, He spoke in that small, still voice. Inside of us, the Spirit of God speaking. And, you know, you go to bed at night, you're trying to get away from in the daytime, you try to, camouflage your sin and cover up your sin and go on in your sin. And at night, you pillow your head and the Spirit of God starts to speak to you about your sin. And God convicts us. And the Spirit of God working in our heart, bringing us to conviction. Not only bringing us to conviction, but 1 John 1:7 says this, the blood of Jesus Christ's Son cleanses us from all sin. He not only brings us to conviction, but He brings us to confession and cleanses us through His blood. Well, you know, only God can take away the penalty of sin in our life. You think about in this verse, it says, verse 13 of that chapter, it says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God does some. God, Spirit of God can keep us from doing sin. And not only brings us out of sin, but it'll stop you before you get into sin. Many times, before we sin, we're making a choice. We're thinking about it. Usually we don't just fall into sin. We kind of plot it and plan it. And we carry it out. The Spirit of God, before all that, begins to speak to us, say, let's not go that way. Let's not go that direction. Let's not watch that thing. Let's turn that off. Let's turn from that. Let's put that book down. Let's not concentrate on that. Let's not think about that lust. Let's not feed that. That's the Spirit of God inside of us. I'll tell you, we got a great God that takes time to reveal Himself to us. Through the heavens, through the Scriptures, through the Spirit of God in our heart. In verse 14, when David's talking about meditation, he's talking about communing with God. He's communing through His Word, through His thoughts, through the Spirit of God, and he's having fellowship with Him. Well, we can have fellowship. One of the things, have fellowship from words, but how about Spirit? I've experienced some of those. We were in Mexico one time. And we're there, my great ability to speak Spanish. You're communicating, and we're sitting down. And one of the interesting things, we're playing a great spiritual game called Uno. And now, nobody can really speak Spanish fluent there. The Americans that are there. We know a few things, but there we're teaching people Uno that can't speak English. So we can't speak Spanish. They can't speak English, and we're playing Uno. And what was happening is when we begin to show them how to play this, and they got the idea, and they knew how to win. And when they'd win, when they beat the Americans, so to speak, it was like you could sense the spirit, the excitement of ha ha, we were having a great time, and yet we could not communicate with words. But we had this common denominator that brought us together in that unique place in the midst of Mexico, and His name is Jesus Christ. And where you go, you have a spirit that brings a common denominator, though the language may change, that you can sense with people. The Spirit of God. It's a wonderful thing. You ever get around somebody and say, man, I got a bad spirit. I've been in a few houses and said, man, that's a bad spirit. You can sense. One time, a preacher walked in the house, and here's what he said. It was one of our folks. They don't come here. They've not been here in a long time. They maybe from a far, far away, long, long way. And they walked in their house and said, I sense the devil in here. And boy, that was an understatement. Because what that house had in, they had a devil in that place. They had a mess. That was a great statement by a preacher. They just walked in, visiting, walked in and said, I sense the devil in here. Whoa, that's the spirit. This is a wonderful thing to walk in. Hey, I sense the spirit of God in here. Something about it. You ever just meet somebody and you sense something godly about them? Something about it, the spirit of God. It's a wonderful outpouring. I'll just tell you right now, the devil doesn't want you to know this great God. And he doesn't want you to know the potentials inside of each of us through Christ. When David declared God, you know, what helped David walk into that battlefield? What helped him to control? I mean, emotionally, everybody in the Hebrews, where they were shot, they were gone emotionally. Why did David keep all of his emotions together? I don't know if you've ever been in a fight, but I'll tell you, it's not easy to keep your emotions together when you're being threatened with your life. It's not easy to keep your emotions together. And David did. You know, if God knows inside of us, when we got saved, I'm telling you, inside of each of us, there is divine DNA that the devil does not want released. And if we ever come clean with God, yield our lives to God, and sell out to God, I'm telling you, you do not know what can happen. You and God, just like David's huge potential, those seeds were in him. I think of other people sometimes we see in history where there's something inside of us that nobody could see, nobody knew, and all of a sudden, you know, as witness, there's something powerful going on inside. I'll give you a story. I'm not talking about necessarily saved. I'm just telling you the potential that was never tapped, a potential that was never witnessed until recently. How many ever heard of this lady? Her name is Elaine Page. Anybody hear her? Nobody heard of her. How about this lady? She's 47 years old, and she really didn't have, she was known as kind of being a simpleton in school. They thought she was backward, maybe a little out of it, out of touch. She's a loner. She's overweight. There were not a lot of beauty about her. She was, you know, in class, she wouldn't have been voted of somebody that would make it anywhere, do much. But Elaine Page had effect on her. Elaine Page, she would be with her, and what she liked to do is she liked to sing. And she enjoyed singing, and she heard Elaine Page and said, you sing good. I like to sing. And so she took singing lessons, and, you know, nobody really thought much about her. She just kept going away, plugging away, working at it. And one day she stepped out on a stage in England. And her name is Susan Boyce. Susan Boyle. You know, I just want to tell you something about her. When she stepped out that day, she became 47 years old. She became known worldwide. She was a nobody that people considered a simpleton. Well, not bad for a simpleton. She made $18,000 or $18 million. Since she stepped out on that stage. That's not bad for a simpleton. See, there was a potential inside of her that was released that she had all the time, but no one noticed it until that day. I'll tell you something, that in Jesus Christ, there's potential in each of us that the devil doesn't want released. And David, why David? Well, David's an example of what can happen when somebody sells out to God. It was not David's might to put him in that valley of Elah that day. It was David's faith in God. He knew God. He loved God. He trusted God. And he obeyed God. And what is that? That's divine DNA set on fire. You know, you say, you may be thinking here, you know, maybe you got a song to release. Release it. Maybe it's something God wants you to sing. God wants you to teach. God wants you to preach. God wants you to do something. Trust Him for it. If you knew Him, you love Him. If you love Him, you trust Him. If you trust Him, you would obey Him. And it wouldn't be to your sadness. It would be to a Susan Boyle gladness that God empowered you to do something that was beyond you. No one of the devil doesn't wants to stop us from knowing God. So he tries to not let us see him in the heavens. He's taking the Bible out of churches. Many people today, they go to church, they don't even take the Word of God in church anymore. They just see it up on the screen. They can throw anything they want up there. I'm not against putting the Scripture on the screen. I'm against us not getting rid of the Bible. I'm for putting the Scripture anywhere you can. I'm just saying not at the forsake of getting rid of your Bible. Because that Bible is going to tell you all about God. It's our love letter that He's written to us. And what happens? It ignites the Spirit of God inside of us. And when you ignite the Spirit of God, the devil knows that's great potential to bring about his demise. Not only in that individual's life, but it's going to affect somebody else in a great way. Well, it all begins with knowing God. And if there's some doubt this morning about really knowing God, listen, there may be huge things that are problems in your life that God plans on solving them. But the first step in this whole journey with God is to make sure you know Him. Can I get an amen there? To make sure you're really a child of God. That there's no doubt today, if the last day, this is the last day on earth, that you know for sure, you settled it, that heaven is your journey. And you are a son of God. That's the beginning of this great journey. From that, I can't tell you, there's no limit of what can happen. You think about all these people in the Word of God, if they didn't get discouraged in what all they were able to do. I mean, everybody was against Daniel, it seemed like. Everybody was against Joseph, it seemed like. Everybody was against Ruth, it seemed like. And yet you see these people becoming great people of God. If there's some doubt where you'd spend eternity, let's help you today. It's time. Not only someday salvation, but today's salvation. And today settle it. We're not going to keep you. We're not going to have a real long invitation. We're not going to break your arm to get you saved. You got to want to be saved. You got to want it bad. But I want to tell you, if you knew how good God was, you'd want it real bad. And by the way, if you knew how bad the devil was, you'd want out of that family. And you'd beg God to take him into his family. And if you knew what all God could do in your life, you'd go running to Him. I mean, you're not a victim. You're a victor in Christ. And there's great, great potential that can be released by following our great Lord. Stand with me, please.